Welcome to the More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy that we all get from American politics. My name is Jonah Knight. I am from Maryland, and I'm an independent.
Hi, my name is Emily Brewer. I'm a moderate Republican from Virginia.
I'm Greg Matuszak. I'm your liberal Democrat from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm DJ McGuire from Suffolk, Virginia, self-described economic conservative and self-confessed Republican.
I prefer to stay anonymous. No, that's a joke. This is Kevin Kelton. I'm in Southern California, and I'm a moderate Democrat.
And we are fully realized hosts of this show. And if you're interested, you can find more about us at themoreperfectunionpodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast, where we share all kinds of weird things about politics usually. And, of course, you should rate and review us on iTunes, because that just makes everybody happy. And so this week in American presidential politics, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It is the love we all feel in our heart. It is the return of Mitt Romney to center stage. He is the man who makes us all wish that it was 4 years ago, 8 years ago, and we had another choice, right? Moving forward with our lives, we've been wanting this. We've been praying for it. He's now back. And, Greg, you have changed your vote, right?
Of course. I mean, Mitt Romney is not at all. I mean, I never liked Mitt Romney. I liked... How do you guys feel, the Republicans and the conservatives in the room? I mean, as a Democrat, I never cared for him. So when he comes out saying, you know, this Trump guy's a pretty evil guy, he's morally reprehensive, I'm now all of a sudden saying, well, maybe I should look into him. But how do you guys feel about, aside from that, how do you feel about Romney, like, 4 years later? Do you see him stamped as a loser, or do you feel like he cost you the White House? What do you guys think?
For the benefit of those who in the listening community who have not heard this joke, I am going to say it, even though I think all of you have heard it, because I think it is deeply appropriate to Mitt Romney and the various establishment folks who are weighing in here. The joke is that a German general informs Hitler that the Italians have entered the war, at which point Hitler orders 30,000 men sent to the front. The general informs Hitler that the Italians have actually entered on his side, at which point Hitler orders 50,000 sent to the front. honestly, this is not the kind of thing that will help. Romney had not even gotten off the stage when most of the speculation in social media on the right-hand side of the spectrum was not about what a great speech Mitt Romney gave, but whether this meant that he was going to make himself the choice at a brokered convention in 2016. So, you know, it really, I think, it didn't help at all. What did help was Maine going for Ted Cruz, a state that people didn't expect. Kansas going for Ted Cruz 2-1. Same-day voters in Louisiana going for Ted Cruz narrowly. Trump won that one because of the early voting. And Cruz nearly beating Trump in Kentucky, and Marco Rubio beating Trump and everybody else in Puerto Rico this afternoon.
We are so proud of little Marco. We are so proud of
But in any event, this is really the first sign that voters, Republican voters, are looking at a Trump nomination and saying, this may not be what we're looking for after all. That, I think, had a greater impact than anything Mitt Romney said.
You know, I'm a bit over Mitt Romney, I've got to say. I mean, you know, I look at the guy, you know, he did a service to the party, but, you know, I think that it was over the top, excessive, and frankly ridiculous that he felt like he was going to lead the banner on this and decide to speak for, you know, more establishment Republicans.
Look, there's no doubt. Mitt Romney, I remember back in December of 2014, when everybody was saying, is Jeb going to get in? Is Mitt going to get in? Are these two big guns going to go head-to-head? And I remember people saying back then, what Mitt really wants is to be drafted by the convention. He doesn't want to run. He wants a draft Romney movement. So there's no doubt that when he took that stage or that podium the other day, He was angling to be the person that everybody turns to on the second or third ballot. It's not going to happen, but that's what was in his mind. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. So I have a friend who was a big Romney supporter, lifelong Republican, lifelong Mormon, just like admired the guy, took time off work to watch this speech, to stream this speech, and was baffled afterwards and didn't understand what the point of it was. And he said, I now don't know how I feel about this guy. I spent the last years and years really liking him as a political figure, and now I have no idea how I feel. And I think that while I was amused by a lot of what Romney said, because all of this stuff just amuses me in a weird, perverse way, I can totally see how if you're a Romney loyalist, you don't know what you're feeling right now.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, regardless of the fact that he clearly was doing this for self-interest purposes, they're probably also – I mean, I do believe he also wants to save the Republican Party as he perceives it. Yeah. And I also think that Donald Trump is not his kind of human being, and I do believe that Mitt Romney is authentic about his religion and about being a gentleman and all that other stuff. So I think that he at least was trying to do some good, even though he had a self-interest in it. The people that I think really dropped the ball this week are the three other Republican candidates for the nomination. Who eviscerated?
Yep, I know where you're
Trump,
going.
Yep, who eviscerated Trump for 2 hours in that debate, yep. And then at the end of the debate, they stood there and said, "Oh, sure, I'll support him if he gets the nomination."
He's not really that bad. Exact wrong answer. Exactly.
That is the exact wrong answer. These people should be coming out. If I was Ted Cruz, I would be going in front of the mics and saying, "Listen, a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Hillary Clinton. If you go into a primary or caucus and you vote for Donald Trump, you might as well be pulling the lever for Hillary Clinton. He will not beat her. He will never be the president of the United States. And you will be pulling the vote. You will be pulling the lever for Hillary
Clinton." But that's what he said.
That's what they should be saying. No, but then he said, "I'll support him for president." That undercuts the whole message. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at them.
I know, I understand that. But what you don't realize is that all three of them still have a path to victory, however narrow it may be.
Wait. All three of them?
All three of them do.
All three of them do.
Their path is the yellow brick road, okay?
Right.
No, their path is actually quite reasonable, and I will tell you what they are.
Okay, let me finish my thought, and then you can go. Even if they do have a path, I still think that part of that path is saying, "Look, I'm a loyal Republican. I love the Republican Party, and because of that, I cannot back this man." Okay, that said, DJ, it's all yours.
Okay, and that is not a wholly indefensible thing to say, Kevin. I think you have a point. However, if you have a situation where Rubio wins and Kasich loses their home states, or the reverse, Kasich wins Ohio and Rubio loses Florida, then either Kasich or Rubio finally has the moderate lane, the established lane, whatever the heck lane you want to call it, finally has it all to themselves.
The same lane.
That opens up the same, whatever lane you want to call it. That opens up Pennsylvania, winner take all by congressional district. That opens up New Jersey, winner take all by congressional district. That opens up California, winner take all by congressional district. There are about 300 to 400 delegates, I think, in those three states. California has over 200 delegates on the Republican side, if memory serves. That's more than enough for either of these guys, particularly if they win their home state and the other one doesn't, to pull ahead of Cruz while still with Cruz having more delegates than Donald Trump does. In that scenario, either Kasich or Rubio can then say to Cruz, "Look, I have more delegates than you do. But between the two of us, we can stop Trump. I make you my running mate, and off we go." That's the plan, and the plan could work. Now, for Mr. Cruz, his path is even easier than those two. Ironically, he has to get Cruz, both Kasich and Rubio, out on the 15th. And then he can have a one-on-one race with Donald Trump. And if the Republicans really want to stop Donald Trump, then they have, in that scenario, to simply vote for Ted Cruz. The problem is, I don't think most Republicans actually want to stop Donald Trump if the alternative is Ted Cruz.
Right.
That's the problem that Cruz faces.
Right.
But the reality is the Republican electorate can, in fact, stop Donald Trump, even at this date. The question is not can they, the question is do they want to? And we'll know that, we probably won't know that until the big states come in April, New York, Pennsylvania, and others. Because after the Ides of March primaries, the only other big state between now and April is Arizona, which is a week later. That's also winner take all. And that could end up being affected by what happens on the Ides of March. But all three guys could reasonably see themselves as the Republican nominee, still even at this late date.
See, I think, so I said well back, and I think, DJ, we talked offline about this, is that all these people are saying earlier, Kasich should drop out. Now they're saying Rubio should drop out. What I kept on saying is that why on earth would they drop out, both Ohio and Florida, winner take all, we know that.
To hand him their
Let's
states.
Just go ahead and say, here, Trump, here's your platter. Yeah. Take these, please. So that's foolish. But having said that, and I don't know if you guys would agree or disagree, but regardless of how, depending on if they come in second, if Rubio and Kasich, say they both come in second to Trump, I say they keep on chugging. I think they're going to keep on going forward. I think they're going to keep on splintering delegates so Trump doesn't get to his 1237, and we're going to end up with a broker convention. What say you guys?
So what you're saying is Kasich and Rubio are there just to spoil.
If either of them lose their home state, or if both of them lose their home states, they are no longer viable. Rubio has only won two contests between now and the 15th. Kasich has not won any.
Correct.
Right.
There is no, and Kasich himself has said that if he loses Ohio, he is done. Okay.
Right.
He is not viable after that. Rubio not viable after he loses Florida. That is the reality. What made the reason I was so pessimistic last week was because I assumed that Donald Trump could have wiped out all of his competition by the Ides of March primaries. Ted Cruz has made that an impossibility now. Not only did he win four states, including Alaska, which was a real surprise because it was Sarah Palin's backyard, but he won Maine, which was also not one of his places. He nearly won in Louisiana. In fact, if it weren't for early voting, he would have won Louisiana. Ted Cruz is actually breaking out of his region. He's breaking out of his comfort zone. He's winning in places that you wouldn't expect him to win. He's undermining Trump's argument that Trump's the only one responsible for all the big turnout. Donald Trump had more voters in Maine than everyone who voted in 2012 in the Romney-Paul battle. And he was still 2,000 votes behind Ted Cruz in that state. So Cruz is going to survive, which means Donald Trump cannot clear the field by the 15th, even if he does knock out Kasich and Rubio. And here's the funny part here. Let's say Trump does knock out Kasich and Rubio on the 15th, and he gets 165 delegates. Well, that's great for Trump. But if Ted Cruz can establish himself as the remainder man, which he would, then he could win Arizona and get 58 of those back. And if he can convince Marco Rubio to endorse him, and that's a very large if, then Rubio's 110-plus delegates come over to Cruz, and he makes up everything that was lost with Florida and Ohio. And he's right back to within 100 to 150 delegates, with those winner-take-all states still out there, with the fact that in a two-person race, a number of proportional states become winner-take-all at 50% plus one. Ted Cruz would be in a very good position if Rubio and Kasich both lose. Rubio and Kasich would be in a very good position if one wins and the other loses. If they both win, then they're going to have a discussion, I think, before the New York primary on April 19. But if they both win, Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Can I also throw out something? You know, we're talking about everybody having a viable path to, and then the assumption is that they're all working for the same nomination. And I think that's also a mistaken assumption. These guys have a lot of different agendas. Marco Rubio is termed out, or by voluntarily, he's not running for another term as a U.S. senator. What is this man going to do with his life? He's trying to figure out what to do next with his life, just like Chris Christie is. John Kasich, he wants a future, possibly as the nominee or a vice presidential nominee. Cruz, I think that the wheels are always spinning in this guy's head about what he can get out of any given situation. So when we're thinking about what is their path towards victory, that's only one way to look at it. My sense of it is this. unless something has radically shifted in this campaign that we're not yet seeing because we don't have a 10,000-foot view, Donald Trump is going to probably go to